Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Diaz. Research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. On a recent show titled Sun Facts, Fun Facts, I said that our sun has about 5 billion years left to shine. We live in the perfect spot in our solar system for life to exist. So why not become a better steward of the Earth and harness solar energy? So let's go on the road to meet up with Andrew Contrino, a solar energy expert, and learn what it takes to go solar. This show was brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. All right, this is Joey B on the road, and I am with Andrew today of Green Power Energy. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Joey.
You know something, Andrew? This is something that I've wanted to record for a long time, is a show about solar energy. So you're the expert today, so I'm going to ask you the questions. The first thing people always want to know is, well, how does solar energy work?
So that's a good question to start off. So solar energy works. Obviously, we're taking the rays of the sun and turning it into energy. So the question is, how does that work exactly? Well, first of all, the solar panel needs to harvest that energy somehow. So the panel is made out of primarily silicon. And within there, there's going to be positive and negative electrons that are going to be energized by the sun's rays. From there, the electricity is going to travel up what we call diodes, which is basically these little electrical contacts that run up and down the length of the panel. And then from there, it's going to run from the wires that are attaching the panels together. It produces a direct current energy, and then you're going to have a device called an inverter on the side of your house or either behind the panels, and that'll make the switch from the DC current to the AC current that you can power your home with. So that's the basics of how it works. You've got your panel, you've got your wires, you've got your inverter, and then it's actually going to be connected into the main bus bar, main distribution panel of the house. So solar is going to come down off the roof, and the first thing that it's going to power is everything that it can in the house. If there's power left over, it's going to get pushed back into the grid. The meter is going to spin backwards. You'll get credited for it. So yeah, it does power the house in real time.
It's funny that you said that about the meter moving backwards, and I do remember a story. A guy that I knew very well, when he put the solar panels on, he said, don't plug it in till it, and he went outside and he watched. And he waited and waited, and all of a sudden, as it was making the energy, his meter started to go backwards.
Yeah, eventually the utility company will come and replace it with a digital meter that basically does the same thing. But for the first few weeks, you can see it physically spin backwards. It's usually like an excited husband that'll run outside and he'll monitor it. And sometimes it'll kind of be in limbo, and then he'll run back inside and yell at people to turn off TVs and lights, and then run back outside and watch it spin backwards. But yeah, it is a really amazing thing to actually watch the dial go backwards.
That's got it, really, again, and it's a savings, and that in itself is a great thing. So let's talk about seasonal energy. We're recording right now. It happens to be the wintertime, beautiful sunny day. So let's talk about creating or making energy at the different seasons. Tell me about that.
Okay, well, yeah, that's a good question. The solar irradiance, as we would say, or the amount of solar that you can potentially produce in a given area, is going to change seasonally. The summer months are going to be the most productive months. Actually, the span is really from around March to, I would say, maybe mid-October, when the system is going to be a big energy producer. And then in the darker winter months, December, January, even February, it does produces a little less. As far as that goes, and how that relates to installing solar on your home, it doesn't make that much of a difference. It's not like you're going to have crazy bills in the winter necessarily, or anything like that. We talked about the meter spinning backwards. So in a perfect situation, the solar setup in relation to seasonal energy would be, you got to set up what we call your date of interconnection at the right time. So that meter spinning backwards, let's say in September, for example, your system produced way more than you needed and your meter spun backwards a lot, you get a credit, and that would carry over to the next month. So that works for a while. It goes month to month and it helps you. But at a certain point, the utility company needs to clear their tab with you and they wipe your slate clean. So we try to encourage people to set it up where they're what we call your date of interconnection or your anniversary date, or basically where you're going to start fresh with your tally of overproduction. Try to make that like early March, and then you're going to get all the energy from March, April, May, June, July. You know, you're going to get all that extra energy, and it's hopefully going to build up a kilowatt hour bank, as we would call it, and that'll help you power through the winter. So yes, solar produces different amounts at different times of year, but as far as your bill's concerned, if you set it up right and we design the right size system for you, you shouldn't be shouldn't have too much of a negative impact.
Well, it's really cool because as you're describing all that, and I'm looking outside at your solar field right there, and once again, it's a winter day, it's a beautiful sunny day out there, and it's making and converting energy right there. Yeah. So to me, that in itself is a great thing.
Yeah, it is. And today, it's we're looking at it right now. I don't think there's a cloud in the sky. And I could actually pull it up online. We have a monitoring attached to it, and it's probably producing quite a bit of energy today. I would say, though, for people that are looking at installing solar, whether on their home or business, when you look at different proposals or you look at different designs for a system on your site, you're going to see what they call an annual kilowatt hour projected number, what the system's going to produce in a given year. And that takes into account seasonal changes. It takes into account the fact that maybe your panels might have snow on them for a few days a year. It takes into account that maybe the grid might lose power, you know? So all that gets considered when engineering a solar system.
All right. So now, if someone was interested in saying in their mind, I want to put solar power or solar panels on my home, how do you go out and evaluate? Take me through that process. I've just called you up and said, hey, I'm very interested in solar energy, and you guys come out. What do you do?
Right. That's a good question. You know, we can do quite a bit online these days, which is awesome. It used to be a much more painstaking process, but now I've actually have a computer program. We use a program called Solar Nexus, and it's a cool system where essentially when someone calls in or we get someone's information online and they want a quote, we can actually pull up the house on the system we have and then trace the roof with an online measurement tool. And then you just select a drop down of what panel you'd like to use and what inverter you'd like to use, and then you just press enter.
How cool is that?
So it did not used to be that easy. It used to take a very long time to figure it out. But first things first is you want to know what the usage is on site so that they can get the right size system for their home. And also because the utility company will stop you from installing anything really over 100%. You might be able to get away with maybe 102% just because it might be such a small amount that'll fluctuate depending on the year or the shading. But number one, you want to know what the usage is on site. You want to know what their goal is. You know, how do they plan on paying for the system? How old the roof is? Things like that. We'll do the initial design over the computer, like I mentioned. And then, you know, once we go to the house and they decide they want to move forward with the project, at that point, we will send someone there to get up on the roof and make sure the roof's in good condition. We'll actually get into the attic and check the rafter situation, if it's got enough supporting weight. And we'll also take a SunEye reading, which is an interesting device that actually connects to satellites. And what it does is it produces a fisheye lens picture that shows two parameters, times of day and time of year. And then from there, you can basically see what trees might impact the array. So we do a sun measurement, physically measure it, check out the attic. So,
well, question is, if you go into the attic and it's not structurally sound enough for this,
yeah,
is that something that you remediate, or that you're gonna they'd have to have their own contractor come in? And how does that work?
I guess it depends on the installer. Ourselves, we've done it a lot. We basically just need to build a knee wall, which is just basically putting you know, a 2x4 or whatever size, it needs to be probably bigger than a 2x4, but you're putting a piece of lumber across the beams to reinforce them. If it's a bigger commercial project, a big building, that's that can definitely be a headache. That could add a lot of, that might complicate the project going through. But on someone's home, you know, it's really only just our labor and a piece of lumber to reinforce the thing.
Is there a, or could you give, like, what is one panel weigh? Actually, what would be the, I guess, the average size of a panel, and what does it weigh?
So, average size of a panel is 5.49 feet by 3.25 feet, approximately. And they'll weigh about 40 pounds.
But so that's not heavy at all, then.
That's not too heavy, no. But, I mean, considering how big it is. But what does need to be considered is how that weight is affected with hurricane force winds or pounds of snow on it.
All right. Now that definitely makes sense. Yeah. And you have factored in for, we'll say, hurricane force winds. It's factored right. in that it's going to stay mounted to your roof, hurricanes coming, something of that nature.
Yeah, exactly. So when we go in and into the attic, we're measuring how far across the rafters are, what the span is, all that stuff. We take that to an architect who's got to sign and seal a letter stating that the system can withstand whatever the hurricane wind loads are in that area and all that stuff. So, yeah, that's part of the permitting package, and we can't get a building permit until we have an architect that says that this is fine to do and here's my seal on it, or it's fine to do once you install a knee wall. So that's part of the permitting process.
All right, and average homeowner, and I know this is going to be tough because there's different size homes. What's the, I don't want to say startup cost, what's the cost for putting in solar energy?
So if you're actually going to buy the system cash, and like I said before we started the recording, it's a tough one to answer because it really, really varies on what the system size is. But generally, I think that when I added up all the jobs that we did last year and what the average cost was, you're probably looking at this point around $28,000. We also had homes where the systems cost $70,000. So that's why I say it really, really varies. For people that are shopping for solar out there, generally when you're around the $3 per watt range, that's like a really, really inexpensive price. On average, more probably between $3.50 to $4 a watt. And that would be the wattage of the system, which is just basically like, let's say I have 10 240 watt panels. That's a 2.4 kW system, 2400 watts. If it was $4 a watt, it'd be what, just under 10 grand. If that makes sense?
Yeah, yes, it does.
But I would say that most people in New Jersey and across most markets actually finance their system and don't pay any money for them out of pocket directly.
Do you finance the system, or that's they're going to their bank for a loan? Or
do we finance them ourselves? No, but we work with several partners that will finance them for them. And most people these days are doing a solar loan. In the past, what really got solar off the ground in New Jersey was solar leases. In the past 5 years, though, a lot more big banks have become keen to solar, and they're willing to finance these systems, which is good because you can get all the incentives associated with the account and own the system and probably have more desirable terms too. So, you know, a lot of people too might see out there, I know I see it on Facebook and stuff too, free solar, no money down solar. And I think that a lot of times people feel like they're like, it's got to be too good to be true, or it's a scam or something like that. And it's not, as long as there's certain parameters that are in place, like, you know, the roof needs to be in a certain condition. You need to know that you're staying in your house for a certain amount of period of time. You know, you need to have tax appetite. But, you know, if you've got tax appetite and it's the array is a good design, you can go solar for no money out of your pocket and end up saving money every month. You'll pay for the system every month, but with the savings and incentives, you'll be cash flow positive, so to speak. And I know I'm kind of jumping around.
No. Hey, that's, yeah. And what's, you said tax appetite?
Yeah.
Never heard it. I never heard the term. Go.
So until 2019 anyway, there'll be a 30% tax credit off all renewable energy projects in America. So, you know, for round number's sake, a $10,000 system, you'd be eligible for a $3,000 tax credit in that tax year. So that's a huge part. It brings the net cost down to 70% of the original system cost. A lot of people will have misconceptions about this, though. They'll think, oh, you know, I get a big refund at the end of the year. It's not how it works. So, I mean, if you are employed, you've got tax appetite. You know, so let's say, for example, that average system I said was like $30,000, I think I said. So the tax credit then would be $9,000. In order to have a $9,000 tax appetite, federally, that is, the federal tax appetite, you need to make, I think, just over $30,000 a year. So as long as you're making that amount of money, or your spouse, too, your combined income's that amount of money, you'd be able to take that tax credit in year one. If you're getting taxes, you know, with your payroll company or whatever, if you're getting your taxes taken out of your paycheck every month, like a lot of people do, then in that case, you'll be entitled to an even bigger refund. And if the situation is, well, I simply don't make that amount of money, well, you can actually carry that tax credit over for, I think, up to 5 years. The tax credit will be around until 2019. Let's see, after that, I don't have the schedule right in front of me, but after that, it goes down to 10% commercially and goes away residentially. There is a bit of a sense of urgency while prices are in a good place, and the technology and financing has come such a long way, and the tax credit is still here for another couple of years. It's a good time for solar.
That tax credit, is that considered government assistance, or are there other programs that will lend you money, or I shouldn't even say lend you, but give you money toward this? Is there anything out there?
Well, there's the tax credit, like I mentioned, and that's a federal tax credit, IRS rebate. Right. As far as government programs, there's different things that, not really government programs. In different states, there might be state rebates. I know New York has a state rebate. New Jersey has an incentive program. It's the SREC program, SREC, Solar Renewable Energy Certificates. And that's essentially getting paid to produce power. So regardless of how much you use or don't use from your system, a lot of people will think, that's when I get paid for my overproduction. No, you'll have a meter installed on the side of your house. Every 1,000 kilowatt hours your system produces equals one SREC that you can then sell. Right now they're worth like $250 a piece. So it really speeds up the return for people and makes the investment look really good in New Jersey. That's why New Jersey's, and the stat always changes. I think we're number four in the country right now. It might have changed overnight, but last I checked, we were number four. So you have that. You know, there's definitely different state programs. There is a program through the USDA where you can get a rebate if you're going solar on farmland, and that's a really good program. That's a grant. That's a good program.
And one of the things I was going to ask you is, let's talk about farmland, because, you know, most people are always thinking about residential, and we should. And I was going to get you to commercial and farming. So let's talk about like solar fields set up on farms. How do you go about that? Tell me.
Well, okay, so there's two different types of farm projects. When you say solar field, that's a little bit different. So there's two things. We can have a grid supply project, or we can have a project that actually satisfies the needs for that site. So a grid supply project is kind of a whole other animal. And that's where you have a bunch of investors that get together, and they work out a land lease with a farmer. And then they're also working out a power purchase agreement with either the utility company or a nearby user. And they're essentially exporting that energy offsite. That's something totally different. To actually go solar on your own farm and power your farm is something that we have a lot of experience in. It's really great. Number one, farms will generally have these great barns, which are just awesome platforms for solar energy. We've done a lot of horse arenas, horse barns, cow barns, all sorts of things. If you have a standing seam roof, you can actually attach the panels right onto the seams without even penetrating the roof. We got a great racking system that works with corrugated metal. So number one, they've got these great big roofs that are just doing nothing but splashing, reflecting sunlight. Number two, they generally, depending on what type of farm it is, they're going to have a pretty high energy use. So the interesting thing about farms that we found is that obviously they're running a business out of it.
So they'll be able to take advantage of some of the commercial aspects of solar, but they'll also have their house on the property too, a lot of times. So that also opens up the doors to residential projects. It's residential financing. So someone can go solar on and have a few hundred panels out on their barn, but because their meter is residential and they live there, they can sign up for this residential program.
And so, then, so to speak, reaping two benefits from that.
You know. Right. So let's say they did a solar loan through a residential program. Number one, the economics of scale is going to kick in, where you're going to have just get the best bang for your buck, so to speak, because you've got such a big system. And then, you know, if you're doing a loan as well, you're going to be able to take advantage of depreciation, which is going to be the extra incentive if you go solar commercially. So it's really a win-win. You opened up your door to, if your house on the property, and depending on if it's a commercial or residential meter, how that's set up, you can open the door to both commercial and residential financing options. So, and also that grant is available. So we've seen a lot of farms going solar around here. It's a really popular thing for them to do.
That's actually pretty neat. So then let's go over to commercial. And I know that many major corporations, because you think about warehouses and stores, and as a matter of fact, the photo behind me right there, and behind you, and I'm looking at it, it's like, it's the perfect place to put solar energy. So tell me about that.
Yeah, so I think the commercial, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a better investment in this whole country than going solar commercially in New Jersey. So we have the tax credit, like we mentioned. We have the SRECs, like we mentioned. The other thing is there's a depreciation schedule set up specifically for solar. MACRS depreciation, it's accelerated cost recovery system specifically set up for solar. And depending on your tax bracket, over the course of 5 years, you can get another 30% off your taxes on the system. So, you know, we talked about those round numbers for residential projects. For that residential system, I was saying ballpark would be 30K, you'd get the tax credit and the SRECs. You probably get your money back in about 6 years. I'd say between 6 and 7 years, you get your ROI, as we would say, your return on investment. Commercially, that number could be as low as 3.5 years because you get that added incentive. So it's really good. Then also, the bigger the system gets, the more interested investors might be in it. You could always get a solar loan as long as, you know, your business is profitable and they have a good, your credit situation and all that, debt to income ratio. You could always get a solar loan on a business. You can go to your own lender, or we can help you get one of them as well. But when the projects start getting bigger and bigger commercially, you get more investors that might be interested in doing a PPA, which is a power purchase agreement. So if you see a massive solar system on a giant warehouse or a big box store, chances are that the site host, whoever that system's installed on, whatever built, you know, whatever, whoever owns that site, probably didn't pay anything for the system. They had an eager installer like me who's basically just acting like a contractor who's going to get paid to do a construction job. And then the investor is saying, well, okay, we'll give you the system for free. And in its place, you're currently spending 15 cents all in on electricity. You're going to now pay us 9 cents for 20 years. They're going to hedge against rate increases. They're going to go green. They're going to eliminate in year one a third of their electric bill, a third of their electric costs in year one. Hedge against rate increases as they continue. So there's a couple ways that you can do it, but commercial solar is really attractive. We've had to adapt. We opened up a commercial division last year ourselves, and yeah, it's big business. And a lot of people, if they know they're going to be in the site for a long period of time and their business is doing well and if they've got the capital to do it, it makes a ton of sense.
No, to me that makes sense. And with Joey B Outdoors Adventure, as we're filming across the country, everywhere I'm going, you'll see a huge building, because again, sometimes you're in the middle of, and I always say it this way, nowhere USA, some of the most beautiful places, and you might come across a warehouse, but at the distance you're seeing, so to speak, the roof glistening, and you realize there are solar panels there,
yeah.
And it's everywhere. And as you said before, and I'm sure it varies from state to state, all the different programs that are available to people, whether it happens to be farming, commercial, or residential.
Yeah, but I would say, you know, residential solar might be tough to make sense for people that are just looking to make an investment in states outside of New Jersey. I mean, there's a handful of states I can list for you that are super attractive for residential solar. But I don't know, let's say for, I mean, I don't want to say the wrong state, but there might be a state that doesn't have a rebate or that SREC program, right, which are state incentives. But commercially, they can still get that 30% tax credit and that depreciation. So I think that it really doesn't matter what state you're in. Commercial solar makes sense in all 50 states.
Then some people out there, because it's funny, you know, we've got listeners from around the world. Maybe they want to make some investments here in the U.S.
Well, there's also, you know, other countries overseas where I know it's really attractive as well. I mean, specifically Germany, as most people know, have been the leader with renewable. So I can't speak to overseas. I know that when I flew into Munich over the summer, I was just there on a layover, but just as we were coming in, I mean, I couldn't believe it. That it was actually real how much solar there was. Just coming in for landings, look out the left window, look at the right window, it was just solar. It was truly amazing.
That is cool. Hey, and hopefully that's the future of our country as well. So
I can't speak to the whole country. I mean, it's been a weird transition period in our country, obviously. But I will say that generally solar has been pretty bipartisan in its support because it creates so many jobs. And at least in New Jersey anyway, we have a renewable energy portfolio, which basically in New Jersey, we need to be, I think it's 20% renewable by year 2022. So different states can make their own decisions like that. But at the end of the day, the solar industry is creating so many jobs that it really can't be ignored.
Oh, think about this. You always hear the win-win. It's such a positive for our country in regard to whether you're residential, commercial, or a farm renewable source, and then the jobs that are out there to implement all of this and maintain all of it. It is a win-win for our country.
Yeah, it's employing plenty of people. You're speaking to one of them right now.
There you go. Well, Andrew, I just wanted to thank you for coming on the show. And for someone who's listening, how do they contact you or your sales staff at Green Power Energy?
Certainly, yeah. You can Google us. The company's Green Power Energy. Read our reviews. You can also visit us on the web at greenpowerenergy.com. And you can always call me or anybody here at the office with any questions or install-related inquiries. And that's 908-713-9055, 908-713-9055, or again on the web at greenpowerenergy.com.
Well, Andrew, I just want to thank you for coming on the show, because my goal is to learn as much as I can. And I, as usual, I learned an awful lot from you. I'm sure the viewers did too. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Joey.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeyb.tv. That's joeyb.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.